Let me back up. Let me pray for the offering. Most holy and righteous Father, Lord, we just magnify you and we praise you this morning. God, we thank you for all that you do. Lord, I just ask that you continue to bless the finances of Christ Unveiled. Continue to touch the hearts of your people. Lord, and continue to bless those that support this ministry. Lord, bless those who have a desire to support this ministry. And those that do not, Lord, I ask that you touch their hearts so that they can see how beneficial it is for your word to go forth. And God, again, we just thank you for all that you do, everyone that supports this ministry. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in your holy name. Amen. So in Deuteronomy 7 and 9, God is talking to Moses. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, as I said, there had been a conversation going on between God and Moses. And Moses was taking this word out to the people to tell the people who God is. And he says, he is God, the faithful God. And when, after God had told Moses he wasn't going into the promised land, he went to Joshua. And he said to Joshua, he gave him a charge and he said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. So this was a promise that God had given Abraham thousands of years ago and said, you're going to have a son. And it took 25 years for that son to materialize, to come into play. And then he also told him, he said that your seed is going to be as the stars in the sky and as the sand of the sea, the sand on the beach and the sea. And this had been passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. And now we're here. And we're standing at a place to where God is getting ready to allow Joshua to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And so everything that God had said at this point shows that he has been faithful to his word. Because that's what his word said. They were going into the promised land. They were going to have a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And so, as you read this, you see that as Joshua set out, it didn't happen quickly when they got to the promised land. It wasn't like, boom, we're in the promised land, it's all ours. And I say that because sometimes that's what we think. That's what we think our relationship should be with the Lord. Boom. I asked for it. He answered it. And now it's all mine. However, it took them 7 years. So it didn't happen quickly. It didn't happen without a struggle. Because they had battle after battle after battle. How many of us have a struggle? We have battle after battle after battle. And it wasn't without failure. And a good example of that was Achan. when they took that stuff that they had no business taking, and God had to open up the earth. We have our own faults, failures, falls. All of this is through the process. And then it's not without some loss of life. Things happen. If you're born, you're going to die. It's just a given. A lot of times, we don't want our loved ones to die. But if we're born, we're going to die. If you have a birth date, you have a death date. Bar Jesus busting those clouds open and coming back to take us with us. So although it didn't come quickly to them, although they had to have some struggles, although there were some failures, although there was some loss of life, and I just want to stop for just a second. Let that sink in. Think about your own life. It doesn't come quickly. There are some struggles. There is some loss of life. There is some failure. But yet God is still faithful. God was still faithful to the children of Israel. God is still faithful to us today. Because if he said it, he's going to do it. There's no question about that. There's a saying, the Marine Corps has a saying, Semper Fi, which is always faithful. Sounds really good. But you ask yourself this question. How many people do you know that do exactly what they say? And before you answer that, how many people do you know that do exactly what they say every single time? How many people do you know that do exactly what they say every single time and do it with such thoroughness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything? How many people do you know who do exactly what they say? They do it every single time. They do it with such thoroughness and perfection that you don't have to worry about anything. And they do it because they choose to do it. Now, maybe you guys have some folks that you're hanging out with that maybe I need to hang out with, because my answer is none. The only one that does it every single time, that does exactly what he said he would do, is God. And it's him alone. He is 100% faithful, 100% all the time. And when you look at the world that we live in a world that is full of broken promises. Marriages end. Folks tell you one thing and do something else. And you have to ask, who can I depend on? You know, and it's just our nature to want to have somebody who we can depend on that 100% of the time. And we know, as fallen man, as much as I love Pastor, and as much as Pastor loves me, we still have faults. We still have shortcomings. He may ask me to do something, and it's in my heart, and I'm going, yeah, baby, I'll take care of it. Something happens, and next thing you know, I hadn't done it. And it wasn't because I wasn't trying to be true to my word. It was just that I wasn't able to do it. But that's not the God that we serve this morning if we're a believer. The God that we serve is 100% faithful, 100% of the time. And so this morning, I just want to talk. I know I've been talking for a minute, but I just want to stress the fact that we need to hold fast to faithfulness. We need to hold fast to the faithfulness that is in God, that is in Jesus. Let's look at Hebrews 10 and 23. You know, when you look at the faithfulness of God, we have to realize that when we put our trust in God's faithfulness, it is not a gamble. It is not like rolling dice. It is not like pulling the arm on a slot machine. But when we put our trust in the faithfulness of God, it's a sure thing. We don't have to worry about what if or will he, but we know that he will. And here in Hebrews 10 and 23, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, when you hold fast to something, you secure it. You hold it down. You don't want to let it go. You want to hold on to it as much as you can. And that's what we are supposed to do with the profession of our faith. But then I have to ask, what is it that we're holding on to? What is it that we're holding fast to? You know, people who love, I'll just use sports for an example. They hold fast to basketball stats, football stats, baseball stats, because that's where their profession of their faith is. But as a believer, the profession of our faith should be towards Christ and him crucified. So that's what we're holding fast to, the fact that he sacrificed himself, that God sent his only begotten son. We hold fast to knowing that Jesus died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood for the remission of my sins, our sins. That's what we hold fast to. Because if we're able to hold fast to what is true, we're going to be able to make it. We can't make it on our own. There's nothing that we can do that is going to help us to be able to spend eternity with Jesus other than placing our faith, holding fast, to the fact that Jesus died on Calvary's cross, confessing with our mouth, believing in our heart, but then not just that he died, but the fact that the Father allowed him to rise again because his sacrifice was perfect. His sacrifice was accepted. That's what we hold fast to, because that's what holds our future. And knowing that, and by holding fast to our profession, to our profession of faith without wavering, meaning we're not going to be up today and down tomorrow. We're not going to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. You know, we're not going to be running after prophetess here, prophet there, lay hands on me, help me get a quick blessing. I give you $100, you give me $100 million. That's not holding fast to our profession without wavering. You know, it's just human nature to look for the easy way out. And although we don't always realize it, the easy way out for us is Jesus. You know, if you think about, well, I'll just use me for an example. When I think about my life before, without Jesus, I thought I had it. But when I look back on it now, that was not an easy life that I was living. I was living, but it wasn't an easy life. But when I look at my life now, everything is not a bed of roses. I'm not going to stand up here and lie. It is not always good. But because of my faithfulness, I'll get to that in just a minute. Because of God's faithfulness to me, it allows things to be better than what my natural eyes can see. So we need to hold fast and not waver, because he is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." No temptation. And I know we've all been through some trials, some tests. We may be going through right now. But God is faithful. Although it may seem that I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders, my back is getting ready to buckle, God is faithful. And he is not going to allow me to go through anything that I am not able to bear. But then the only reason why I can bear it is because I know he is faithful. The only reason why I'm able to bear it is because I know, although I think I'm carrying it, in reality, he's carrying it for me. I may feel the weight, but the weight that I feel is nothing compared to the weight that he is carrying for me. He is faithful that regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what trial, what test, he's made a way of escape. And we just have to realize that he is faithful in the midst of our storms. He's the one that walks out and he says, "Peace, be still." So that it doesn't matter that the waves are going and the wind is blustering and the rain is beating down on us, he still says in the midst of our storm, "Peace, be still." We need to cling to that faithfulness, to never let go. And just know that it's God's faithfulness to us. You know, sometimes we get a little confused. And we think it's our faithfulness to God. Now, we should be obedient to his word. Let me just put that in there so, you know, we don't have any issue here. But it's not about our faithfulness to him. Because our faithfulness to him is nothing. I know we think we're something, but it's nothing. We are to be obedient to him. But it's his faithfulness to us that makes all the difference in the world. And we have to get to that place where we remind ourselves when we're going through whatever that storm is, you know, we need to get a mindset like David. When David went up against Goliath, scripture says he was just a ruddy youth. Not much of anything. You know, and here we have King Saul trying to put his armor on David, and David's like, "No, that ain't gonna work. I haven't proved it." Meaning, you know, it just don't fit. It don't feel right. But when David went up against Goliath, he reminded himself of when the lion came and tried to take the sheep, when the bear came and tried to take his sheep. But God's faithfulness allowed him to defeat both the lion and the bear. And now he's standing up against Goliath. And he's looking, he's reminding himself of the faithfulness of God that helped him to defeat Goliath. What Goliath is in your life? What is it that God has already bought you out of, has already delivered you from, that you can look back on and say, I can stand on the faithfulness of God because he brought me out of this. And I know he's going to bring me out of whatever it is that I'm going through. Our salvation is kept by Jesus holding fast. That's what I was saying. It's not about our faithfulness to him, but it's about his faithfulness to us. And because of the fact that God is faithful to us, we have salvation. If it wasn't for that faithfulness, we would not have it. You know, holding fast is something that we as a believer do, because unsaved people, they're not going to hold fast. As soon as the rubber hits the road, so to speak, the rain starts to fall, the storm starts coming in, oops, I'm out. But as a believer, regardless of what's going on, we yet hold fast to God's faithfulness. First Corinthians 1 and 9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when I read that, I thought to myself, this tells me why I'm called. Through God's faithfulness, he has called me, but he didn't call me to walk the way that I want to walk, to do the things that I want to do. But he has called me to be in fellowship with his Son. Now, what does that fellowship mean? Have you ever had a friend that you didn't talk to? Have you ever had a friend that you didn't spend time with? If you have a friend and you're in fellowship with this friend, you're going to talk to them. You're going to spend time with them. You're going to want to be around them. You're going to want to do things with them. That is the fellowship that we should have, that we have been called to have with Jesus. We want to talk to him. Prayer. We want to spend time with him. Prayer, being in church, getting the word. We want to do things with him. Praise and worship. That's what we've been called to do as believers. Not just to come in every Sunday morning and sit in the chair and go on home and, yep, check. I did it this week. But we've been called unto fellowship because of the faithfulness of God. You know, there's so many scriptures that talk about God's faithfulness. Psalms 143 and 1 says, a psalm of David, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications, in thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. First he said, hear my prayer. And when you hear my prayer, answer me in faithfulness. We can go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and we can see the faithfulness of God. And as we go through and we see the faithfulness of God, we can stop right here on whatever the scripture is and say, Lord, I can see you heard my prayer and you're answering me in your faithfulness. And it's all about God's word. It's all about his truth. Every word that God has spoken is true. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it? Shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? And this goes back to what I said earlier. Do you know anybody who has done everything, every time, all the time, and done it right? God is not a man that he should lie. And looking at this scripture, you can see God is a constant. He is consistent. His word does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if he said it, then he's gonna bring it to pass. He never forgets. He never fails. He never falters. He never forfeits. And on that, we can stand on that, we know that is his faithfulness. He is 100% reliable, 100% all the time. I can't think of anybody that I can say that is 100% reliable, 100% all the time. Because of his faithfulness, he keeps every promise that is in his word. Whatever he said that is in his word, he's going to bring it to pass. There was a story about a missionary who was in China before World War II, and Japan came in and raided it. And she was leading out about 100 orphans. And they had to go up through the mountains, and it was getting really rough. And after a couple of days, she was a little concerned whether or not they were going to make it. And one of the little girls came up to her, and she said, "Remember, God parted the Red Sea for Moses." And the missionary said, "But I'm not Moses." And the girl said, "I know, but God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore." And I said that as I close, because we have to remember, he is faithful. He will do what he said he would do. Acts 1, verses 10 and 11 says, "And while they looked steadfastly," and this is talking about the disciples, when Jesus was going back to the Father, "and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" Saints, Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for us. There was a dad, he took his son into town one day, and he told his son, "Stay here on this corner. I'll be back in about 30 minutes. Well, his car broke down. And he wasn't able to get back until 5 hours later. And so when he got back, he seen his son still standing there. And he ran up to his son and he said, "Weren't you afraid that I wasn't coming back?" And his son said, "No, you said you were." He had the faithfulness of his father that he was standing on. We have the faithfulness of God to stand on. I got one more. Little boy's flying a kite. It gets caught up in the clouds and you can't see it anymore. And somebody passes by and they said, "Hey, what you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." And the man says, "But I don't see the kite." "How do you know that it's still up there?" And the little boy said, "Because every now and again, I can feel the tug on the string." We may not always see God. We may not always see Jesus. But we can feel that tug that he has on our life, that tug that he has on our heart. We may not see him, but I can guarantee he is there. And we can, if we would just look at his faithfulness, he said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. We have that to stand on. He said that one day he is coming back. We have to look for his return. As I said earlier, be it he take me by way of the grave or he busts those clouds open and says, come up hither. Either way, I'm going to be with Jesus. Either way, he's coming back for me. And that's what we have to do as we continue to hold fast to faithfulness and know what faithfulness we're holding fast to. Let's bow our head in prayer. Lord, we just ask that you teach us to trust you, to hold fast to your faithfulness, even when we can't see it. We know you are faithful. We know that we can depend on you, Lord. We know that we can count on you. And we look for you to come through for us in the midst of our storms, in every circumstance. Because you are faithful, Lord, we know that you hold up your side, even when we can't hold up ours. Help us to hold on to the rope. Help us to hold on to that connection of your faithfulness, Lord, even when we can't see you. Help us to be sensitive as you're tugging on the strings of our heart. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In your holy name, amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, because of your faithfulness. We're not always faithful, but you always will be faithful, God. And we just thank you that when we call on your name, you might not answer right away because you don't work on our time and our schedule. You don't work off clocks and calendars and deadlines, but you will work in our favor if we just hold fast to what we know, that you are God and you're God alone. But it's in Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us here this morning in-house. And those of you who are online, we thank you for joining as well. If you had not had a chance to give, we hope that you will join us in giving. There's still time. Help us with building up God's kingdom. And also, we have 11 o'clock service coming up and 7 o'clock on Wednesday Bible study. We ask that you join us again, and you are dismissed.